All right. Well, good morning to Living Hope Fellowship. Welcome back to the Father's House, where we are in part two of our new series entitled How to Consistently Receive God's Will for Your Life. Just a quick update, because I know that we're doing this as to survive and to thrive through the pandemic, but we will be regathering at the church officially starting on the first Sunday of November. Please keep in mind that we are actually legally able to do so as of September 29th. So while the church will officially open on the first Sunday of November, you're welcome to come now. You're welcome to come next week. We will have our sanitizers out. We'll have our face masks, all that good stuff that we need to keep you all safe while we come to worship God. And so let's go ahead and get into the message. So how to consistently receive God's will for your life is our new series. And today's specific message, which is part two, is knowing and obeying God's universal will comes first. If you want God to reveal his, you know, unique will for your life, he's willing to do so. But you need to understand that knowing and obeying his universal will must come first. I think we have just two verses today. So we're coming out of Romans chapter 12, and I'm coming out of the New Living Translation today. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." All right. So, you know, one of the things we have to get into today, right off the top, is what is God's universal will versus his unique will? His universal will is everything that we find in the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, the revealed special revelation that God has for us regarding the instructions of how we're supposed to live. The commandments that he gives, his laws, his decrees. Obviously, we know there are certain things in context that don't apply to us today. So when we talk about God's universal will for us, you know, contemporary Christians of this age, it's everything that is applicable to our lives that is commanded by God, taught specifically by God. All right. So there's, like I said, it's Genesis to Revelation. So I can't sit here and tell you everything that is God's universal will, but I just want to give you some examples. So in John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus there says, "All who believe in Jesus Christ to have eternal life, that is the Father's will." You can read that in context. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "God's will is for you to be holy." In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus teaches us, "That is God's will for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength." And then we have, going back to Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Basically, this whole chapter is nothing but God's universal will. But you are to obey all his commandments, decrees, and law. All right? So this is God's revealed will. There are things in the Bible, things in the scriptures that are guaranteed supposed to happen if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That is his universal will. His unique will is what is specific for every single one of us as individuals. And we're not going to deal too much with the unique will today, because this is the foundation of how to consistently receive God's will for your life. So remember, last week was the whole basis for being able to consistently receive God's will for your life is that you must delight, trust, and commit to God, that is the very definition of what it means to have a personal and intimate relationship with our God. It's not personal and it's not intimate if you're not delighting, trusting, or committing. All right? So let's go ahead and get into principle number one this week. So before you can ever hope to know God's universal will or his unique will for your life, you must wholly give yourself to God, so that he can transform you into a new person through the renewing of your mind. Okay? We see this, and this is what I did here, actually. I actually flipped these verses out of order real quick, because I want you to see it both ways. So we know verse 1 and verse 2. I'm going to start with verse 2 this time. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That renewing of the mind, that spiritual transformation that only the Holy Spirit can do, the way it manifests itself and the way we know that it's taking root is what verse 1 says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, then it's going to be impossible for you to even know what the universal will of God is. You have no shot. And most importantly, if you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then you can read the Bible all day long. You're not going to understand. And this is where a lot of people, there's a lot of scholars that exist today that all they do is criticize the grammar, the context, all these different things in the Bible because they read it without faith. And without faith, it'll never make sense to anyone. Without faith, the greatest of PhDs cannot understand what even an illiterate person understands when they have the Holy Spirit and they receive the Word of God with gladness. All right? So just to remind you, principle number one, before you can ever hope to know God's universal will or his unique will for your life, you must wholly give yourself to God so that he can transform you into a new person through the renewing of your mind. This takes us to principle number two, which is what I was just building on. We each have the opportunity to access, know, and obey the universal will of God through our study and application of the Bible in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We each have access to know and obey God's universal will. Now, whether or not people actually access it is a different story. Whether or not we actually take the time to know, whether or not we even want to obey are different subjects. But the fact that we all have we have this access, especially in America, right? Especially in America, there's no excuse. And so we need to make sure that, one of the sad things to me is people, even non-believers, want to know God's unique will for their life, but they're not willing to do the universal will. And without the universal will, you can never get to the unique will. So we need to make sure that our Bible is not just something that's in our home. It's not just something that we adore in theory, but that it's actually what we pick up and practice, that we actually delight in hearing the Word of God, delight in obeying the Word of God. Because through that is how we get to know, to do, to obey, and to delight in the universal will of God. All right? So we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And this is a good scripture here. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That is the beautiful, beautiful thing you got to see there. For we have the mind of Christ. So we go back to principle one, the renewing of your mind, right? You have to have Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And what that does is it gives you the mind of Christ that you access through the Word of God. Not just, you can't access the mind of Christ if your Bible's sitting locked away somewhere at home. You got to be in it. You got to be in with the written word of God so you can connect with the spiritual word of God. And that gives you the mind of Christ. This is what will teach you to know what the will of God is. That is not already revealed in the Bible. Let me tell you right now, and I don't mean this in a mean way because it's not mean. But when you look at the Bible and you see what God is saying and implicitly stated in his universal will, you don't need to pray about that. You don't need to pray about, should I love my neighbor? Should I honor my mother and my father? You don't need to pray about those things. Those are already done. So what you see God reveal to you through his special revelation that is the Bible, do it. Do it. That's all there is to it. There's no praying about it. You can pray about the other thing. You can pray. You can ask God for the strength. You can ask God for to help you surrender, for the commitment. But whether or not you should do it, there's no question. It's already been revealed. And what this does, it'll set you up for principle number three. When you choose to follow and obey God's universal will, as it is revealed in Scripture, you will consistently find yourself in the middle of His will for your life. That is the whole thing. If you obey His universal will, if you delight in Him and in His will, you will be in the middle of His will. You won't have to question, am I doing the right thing or not? Am I in the right place at the right time? You know, there's so many fears that people live with. You know, did I take the wrong job? And the job is ethically great, morally great. You're living out your faith before God. You don't need to question that. You're following God, right? So, you know, if you end up being single for a long time, I see people say, oh, did I choose the wrong way? Did I stay in the wrong city? Did I miss the person? No. If you are obeying the universal will of God, you will be right where you need to be according to God's timing. Okay? So by obeying God's universal will, you will consistently find yourself in the middle of His will for your life. And if I haven't made it specific enough, the key term to this whole series is consistently. We've all received the perfect will of God in different ways. Some in major moments, some in a bunch of small moments, some it's a mixture of. But I want us to experience consistently receiving God's will. Day to day, week to week, month to month, you don't need to go through those lulls. You don't need to go through those valleys where you're questioning, am I following God? Is this God's will? If you have these foundations in place, you will be assured of the fact that you are. And as I stated last week, what happens when you are consistently in this place is your fears will become eradicated by your trust and love in God. Because you know you're doing what you're supposed to, and you don't have to fear, is this punishment? Am I missing out? You know, all these different things, they all are eradicated by the love of God indwelling you through the Holy Spirit, and you start to live a kind of freedom that you didn't even dream was possible. And that's the gift that I know God has in store for. It's available to every single one of us, but I know that many of us will take Him up on this offer if we haven't already done so. So principle number four, God's universal will serves as guardrails for our lives that will keep us safe and aligned with His final destination, as well as keeping us continuously positioned to receive all the fruitful, blessed stops on the way. Okay, think about that. God's universal will serves as guardrails for our lives that will keep us safe and aligned with His final destination, as well as keeping us continuously positioned to receive all the fruitful, blessed stops on the way. I want you to think about your life as a map. I know we don't even use road maps these days. Well, our GPS will just take us to wherever, so we don't really see everything going on big picture. But back in the day, before this GPS stuff, We had to pull out a map, right? You had to roll out the whole big old thing, bigger than your car. And now at least we have the gifting of seeing all the different stores, all the different gas stations, all, you know what I mean? So all these different landmarks are things that you get to enjoy when you are obeying God's universal will. You know, God's universal will is the right route and the right rest stop and the right hotel and the right restaurant that you want. But see, you get to pick all those. Right? You get to pick. Do you feel like a burger today? Do you feel like pizza today? Do you feel like steak today? When you're obeying his universal will, what happens is, it's not that you have less choice. Your choices increase. Your freedom to choose increases if you obey his universal will. Because, like I said, his universal will, the commandments, laws, and decrees he's already revealed, are guardrails against certain types of decisions, right? There's certain things that he's already said, don't do that. If I don't do that, then I'm poised and positioned to be able to throw those temptations away immediately. And when good decisions come my way that are neutral, God gives me all the freedom. And we're going to see that in principle number 6. But God's universal will are guardrails. Guardrails for your life, guardrail for your relationships, guardrails for your destination. So you don't have to go overboard and learn the hard way. You don't have to have, you know, your vehicle completely totaled going over the side of a cliff. You don't have to go through that if you obey God's universal will. Principle number 5. God will personally invest in you, specifically lead you, and open doors unique to you as you consistently delight, trust, and commit yourself to him and to following and obeying his universal will. There's very little chance that God is going to invest in you, personally invest in you, specifically lead you, and open doors unique to you if you don't have that relationship with him. And if you're not obeying his universal will. And I want you to understand this, because there's one particular passage in Scripture that challenges this, but I want you to see it doesn't actually challenge it. It reinforces it. So let's think of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus is persecuting Christians. He's there when Stephen is stoned to death. He's there. He literally is seeking warrants to be able to arrest and imprison Christians, have them beaten, have them killed. And we know that God's divine intervention shows up and straightens his path, right? But we say, well, why would God do that for a man that is doing such horrific things to the kingdom? And the bottom line is, yes, he was completely screwed up in his thinking regarding Jesus and the movement, the way, but he was actually obeying God's universal will the whole time. As a Pharisee, as a man who loved God really, and maybe even more so in theory because he was off, he did obey God's universal will. He completely violated that will as he's persecuting Christians, but God straightens him out because he did delight in his relationship with God. He just didn't realize he was missing it. And my point is that even somebody like Saul, even, you know, somebody who's guilty of innocent blood, if you have that relationship with God and you're obeying his universal will, God will personally invest in you, specifically lead you, and open doors unique to you, all of which happened to Saul, who we now call Paul the Apostle, right? So what I'm saying this because it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you violated in the past, how inconsistent you've been, you know, how horrible your valleys have been. Nothing is beyond the redemption of Jesus Christ. Nothing is beyond the redemption of Jesus Christ. But it's all about that relationship Don't understand obeying the universal will without the personal and intimate relationship. The relationship is key. It's the whole thing. But if it really is intimate and personal, then of course, obedience to God's universal will must follow. That is the manifestation of that delighting, trusting, and committing to God. And last but not least, principle number 6. If you are consistently and genuinely delighting, trusting, and committing to the Lord in all His ways, if He does not reveal a specific or unique will after much asking and much listening, you are free to choose whatever you want. You are free to choose whatever you want. And let me tell you, this is interesting because this is going to be a part of the whole series. I didn't want it. Me in the flesh did not want to roll out this principle this early in this series. I felt, okay, I'll do this probably as, you know, number 5, 6, or 7. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that there are people today in our congregation, people that are going to watch this later on in the recording, they need to hear this right now. They need to hear this right now. If you are consistently delighting in the Lord, consistently obeying His universal will, and if a decision comes your way that is not going to violate your relationship with God, it's not going to violate His universal will, and you're choosing between 2 or 3 good things, neutral things, it's your choice. This is the freedom that God gives us because He trusts us, because He loves us, and because He is the creator of diversity. He didn't create us as robots or clones. He created us to have a free will so that we could offer everything we are, everything we have to Him. And in return, He offers us the same. He offers all of Himself. He offers everything that's available to us here on this earth, so long as it doesn't violate our relationship with Him, so long as it doesn't violate His universal will. Am I making sense to you? So let's think about this. Are you living in a way where you can trust your heart? We saw last week that, you know, there was the verse from, I believe it was Proverbs. Yeah, I think it was Proverbs. Where it says, delight in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you the desires. Something like that. I didn't quote that verbatim. But if you delight in the Lord, and we define delighting in the Lord, right? That it's where you find full satisfaction, where you look for full pleasure, right? If God is the source of where I look for pleasure, where I look for joy, and I love to do things His way, and what He says His way, then He starts to develop our hearts to match His. Last week it was the heart. This week it's the mind of Christ, the renewing of your mind and the mind of Christ. And that if that's happening, then your body is given over to the Lord. And with your body, you serve Him. With your body, you obey. So if you do these things, you will have an innumerable amount of choices come your way that God says, do whatever you want to do. I trust you. You're ready. You have your guardrails. Do what delights you because I delight in you. So when you're tempted to think, oh, you know, life under God is so difficult, it's so hard, it's so stringent, right? It's so narrow. It can be if you're not seeing it with the right lens. But if you see it with the right lens, you'll understand, yes, in the ways of life, it's narrow. In the ways of goodness over evil, yes, it's narrow. But once that road is carved out, there's just an innumerable amount of choices on this map of life that God has laid out before me. There's places we're going to go and we're going to be and we're going to see and we're going to experience that we haven't even dreamed of yet. But God has. And most importantly, He gives us choice. Right? He gives us choice. And you're able to, and like I said, if you're living with this relationship in mind, obeying His universal will, when you make a choice, you're not going to have to play through in your mind, did I make the wrong choice? Is this punishment? You know, that's the thing, right? When you're consistently receiving God's will, even if things turn out completely different than what you thought, you'll be centered and grounded because you know I'm consistently in God's will. One example, as you know, that we're studying Acts in our Sunday morning Bible study, is when the Holy Spirit does not allow Paul to go to Asia and not to go to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit blocks him. He ends up going to Bithynia and Achaia. And later on in time, the Holy Spirit does bring him to Asia. He does bring him to Macedonia. But when Paul gets there, this is some of the worst persecution he ever sees in his life. He's constantly whipped. He's constantly beaten, stoned to the point of death each time. But because Paul is consistently in the will of God, he doesn't have to question himself, oh God, did I take a wrong turn? Did I make the wrong choice? Did I not hear you right? No. He knows, hey, suffering's a part of my mission. I'm coming here to proclaim the gospel, which is the gift God has given me. And even though all these things have risen up against me, I'm going to stay put. I'm going to stay faithful because I know I'm in the middle of God's will for my life. And that's what I think is missing for a lot of us. When you go through the struggle, when you go through the pain, when you go through the suffering, when you experience brokenness, do you have the security and trust in God to know that you're in the middle of His will? Now, you may experience some of those things because you're outside of His universal will. Maybe you've been disobeying some things, and that's His way to get you back in center. But if you've been obeying and you've been faithful, then stop looking at it as this is a mistake or there must be some kind of error or God's not pleased with me. No. It's God's will. And if it's God's will, He'll get you through it. If it's God's will, you don't rely on your power, you rely on God's. So you don't have to run. You can sit down, and as the scripture says, God will set a table for you before your enemies as He lifts you up and He anoints you. As He anoints you to carry out His will on earth, rolling out the things that have already been declared in heaven and that you've been chosen as an ambassador to bring here on earth. Amen. Father God, we thank You once again for the purity of Your word, and most importantly, the purity of the source, You, Lord, that we can trust You above all things. Father, as Your children, as Your co-laborers, as co-heirs with Jesus, Lord, we want to obey You. We know we struggle in obeying. We know we fall down in obeying. But we also know that You honor progress in obeying. That You're not looking for perfection, but progression. Are we a people that are choosing to fall in love with You more and more every day? Are we a people who are about Your mission and carrying out Your will on a daily basis, even if we fall down, because we know no matter how hard the fall is, no matter how far down it is, that it's Your hand that is there to pick us up and dust us off and to get us going again. Father, we are so hungry for Your presence. We're so hungry for Your love. And as we know, this world is desperately, desperately, desperately in need of You. Father, help us to be who You called us to be. Help us to be the light, the little lights that point back to the light that is our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this message would be taken in context, that it would free and loose those who need to be loosed, and that it would bind and tie down those things that are not right in our lives, things that are affecting the reception of our unique will for our life that you have, that you're waiting to bless us with, that you just have stocked up, ready to give away, if we would just become obedient in your universal will. Father, I pray a blessing over every person, every family, every neighborhood, every workplace, every community represented here, physically gathering, those on Zoom, and for those who will be watching the recording later. Father, may you have your way with us so that we can be your partners in the way you have your way with this world. Father, when we see the miracles and the power poured out, we'll make sure that we're very careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.